Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I feel like that's leading the witnesses, though, Isaac. Isaac sprinkling in or dropping in. What? See? Peyton Manning's upset. You wouldn't like Peyton when he's upset. And Enes Kanter is apologizing? And blaming it on Eve. Got it. Okay. All of the voices you just heard are part of the After Hours Hall of Flame induction. Yes, people, it's a Hall of Flame Friday. Hashtag boom. We do not know who our next inductee will be. That's where you come in. If you've never been part of a Hall of Flame Friday, well, you are in luck. Because those four men, Enes Kanter, Kawhi Leonard, Peyton Manning, and some guy named Jared Hensley, that's not really the point. He's the Saudi Daisy Athletic Director near Chattanooga, Tennessee, who got suspended because he blamed girls for everything. Well, I mean, I got you, man, but I bet you'd like to have those days back. He did. He did officially apologize for being a dope. Anyway, you'll hear the audio again coming up in 15 minutes, the latest candidates for the After Hours Hall of Flame induction. If you've already heard them, well, you can find our poll up on Twitter or you can vote on Facebook. We've seen this go neck and neck. We've seen actually a couple of different lead changes between Peyton Manning and Kawhi Leonard. We've seen Saudi Daisy make a move. He's really popular on Facebook. Enes Kanter, I think people are afraid to vote for him. Anyway, you'll hear all the candidates in their entirety in 15 minutes so that you can help us decide who is immortalized next in the After Hours Hall of Flame. It's a Friday. Boom. Deserves a boom as well. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. A half hour from now, we'll welcome former big league pitcher CJ Nikowski, and he will help us look at which pitching staffs have the advantage in the National League Championship Series, which begins later on today, and the American League Championship Series, which features two pretty incredible starting rotations in Houston and Boston. So former big league pitcher and Rangers analyst. He's with the Texas Rangers all the time. He's also a radio host in his own right. That's why he's awake or will be awake. Let's hope he's awake already, preparing for his show on MLB Network Radio coming up at the top of next hour. So he's going to join us as prep for his own show at 5:40 Eastern time, 2:40 Los Angeles time, 4:40 Milwaukee time and Houston time. Did I miss anybody? I don't want anyone to feel left out. So CJ Nikowski a half hour from now, but between now and then, you've got the latest Hall of Flame induction. I've written it down on my card. Week 6 could very well be a turning point for the Philadelphia Eagles. For what they did on both sides of the ball. For the way the defense was in hot pursuit of Eli Manning. And essentially limited everybody but Saquon Barkley. To be able to turn over the Giants two plays in on a deflected pass. It was deflected. A lot of things went wrong for the Giants again. And things that could have gone wrong for the Eagles. For instance, they fumbled three times. It was rainy for a good portion of this game Thursday night in MetLife Stadium. But they recovered all three of their fumbles. So sometimes it's a game of inches. Sometimes that thing is a slippery little sucker. And it doesn't bounce right to you. Either way, for the defense and the way that it pursued and hit Eli Manning over and over and over again, I'll give you the nerd alert on the number of QB hits coming up. But also for the offense, this was the best that Carson Wentz looked. A lot of help from Zach Ertz, from Nelson Agholor, from Corey Clement, who just returned, from Wendell Smallwood, who got lots of carries himself, from Alshon Jeffrey. It was a total team effort. So you can understand why this is the best the offense has looked this season.
Two tight ends in this formation on a 3rd and 7. Shotgun. Wentz steps up. Protection holds up. Wentz out of the pocket to his right. Looking downfield. Wentz throws on the move to the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Wentz with a strike to Jeffrey. Touchdown, Philadelphia. On 1st down, Eagles are threatening. Wentz fakes the handoff. Looks to his left. Throws it. Back of the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Zach Ertz working that left corner. What a connection that's developed into. Wentz to Ertz. Motion man is Jeffrey on 3rd and goal. Quick toss. Jeffrey the catch and walks into the end zone. Left side for the touchdown. The Eagles making it look easy. And Philadelphia is blowing out the New York Giants.
It's a big win for us. You know, NFC East. Finally get that conference going. Short week like it was. Cleaned up a handful of mistakes. Obviously, we weren't perfect tonight, but come out early in the first quarter, get points on the board, get points on the board that first drive right away. That stuff was huge.
So Carson Wentz and the Eagles move to 3-3, and as he talks about, they get that victory in the NFC East, and they do it on the road after a short work week. All of those things play into this, and you can imagine why they were thrilled on their train ride home. I don't even know if they took the train, but it seems like it would be easy to get from Philadelphia to New York via the train. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Carson Wentz, 26 of 36, 278 yards, the 3 touchdown passes you just heard with Ian Eagle on Westwood One. Over 100 yards rushing as a team, and it was a running back by committee effort. A lot of different guys getting carries. The quick start because of the turnover that gave them instant red zone. Literally, their first possession started on the Giants' 16-yard line. Hello. It's way too early for Christmas, but that's what it felt like. Meanwhile, the Giants were a mess. A couple of those catches by Nelson Agholor, including the touchdown. Alshon Jeffrey, same thing. I wondered if they were even touched, if they were close enough to any defender to feel the breath of the defender. Now, the pressure that the Giants offense puts on the defense, it's exorbitant. At some point, it starts to weigh on the defense. If you're always on the field, if your breaks on the sideline, your blows are short, well, you really don't have a chance to catch your breath, and you're still sucking wind from the last possession, and then you get even more tired more quickly. And so the defense at some point, they get down by 21 and maybe not as much effort. But Carson Wentz didn't get touched a whole lot. Olivier Vernon got in there and mixed it up against Carson. So that was good. It was good to see Olivier Vernon back out there on the field. There was one sack of Carson Wentz. In terms of getting to him, they only touched him a handful of other times. Contrast that with Eli Manning. And I know it's popular right now to rip on Eli. He's done. He's over the hill. He sucks. Oh, here's my favorite. The Giants should have chosen a quarterback at number 2 in the NFL draft in the spring. I mean, heck, I feel like Saquon Barkley is a slam dunk. Look at what this young man is doing. He is the highlight. He had over 100 total yards once again from the line of scrimmage. In fact, he had 229 yards from the line of scrimmage. He had the touchdown. But he's only one game shy of the rookie record set by Kareem Hunt a year ago. Barkley has started his career with 6 consecutive games of at least 100 total yards.
Take that for data.
Hunt had 7. That could very soon be a Saquon Barkley record. So I don't know how you can quibble with that. To me, Barkley was the best player available. Baker wasn't available. Baker Mayfield was already off the board. So in my opinion, this was an easy choice for the Giants. And he looks great. He's the one that caused headaches for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, it's still a team sport, so one guy isn't going to rescue you. And it doesn't fix all the other problems. And there were a couple of times when the rookie running back missed protection or missed the blitz coming in. But that was pretty much everybody. The Giants were a mess from fumbles, the interception. They started 0 of 7 on third down. Eli was sacked officially 4 times, but get this, was hit 13 other times. And that's not to mention the number of times that the defense got some pressure on him and forced him to get rid of the ball before he wanted to, or forced him to go to an option that he didn't want to go to. Conservative choices, to be sure. But as I say, as much as it's popular right now to blame everything on Eli, it's not that simple. I know he missed on some throws. I think he looks skittish. I agree that sometimes he's taken what's underneath. But sometimes he can't wait for what is downfield. He can't wait for a play to go vertical because he doesn't have time. And so he was hit on 25% of the Giants' snaps last night. That's just how many times he was hit. That doesn't count the number of times that he was under pressure and had to get rid of the ball. Yeah, it's like a Chinese fire drill. I'll give you that. I mean, it's a mess, except for Saquon Barkley. So I think that the Giants made the right choice. It would be helpful if they had a young quarterback that they could potentially turn to, but this is who they decided to ride with, or ride or die with Eli. Pat Shurmur is. And I know he's frustrated. I know Odell is frustrated. They're all frustrated. But they've got this retooled offensive line that just isn't gelling. And for a quarterback who's immobile, that's no secret, by the way. It's not like all of a sudden Eli got old and then got immobile. Come on. He's a Manning. They're not mobile. So you already knew that. But one of the reasons why Eli had, I think it was the second highest completion rate in the NFL going into last night, is because he can still make the throws. It just happens to be that they're short crossing patterns, they're underneath. I mean, what do you have, 1.2 seconds to wait for your receiver to run his route? He's not going to get much separation in that time. Plus, double coverage. And I'm not saying Eli's perfect. Far from it. Only that it's a big mess. It's everybody. It's not just the quarterback. That's too easy. Although we know it's football, so the quarterbacks get way too much of the credit and absorb far too much of the blame. So the Giants fall to 1-5, or as Marco Belletti has said in his updates, a putrid 1-5. I like that word. And the Eagles move to 3-3. This could be a major turning point for them in week number 6. What's the game you're most looking forward to week 6 in the NFL? We've got our handy dandy poll up. I know how much you guys love this poll. It's one of your favorites of the week. I thought it would be a landslide, but it's actually a lot closer than what I expected with the poll. If you have a different choice, you can certainly reply to the poll or quote the poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's a football Friday, but it's also a Hall of Fame Friday. If you've never been part of the After Hours Hall of Fame induction, you are in for a treat. You'll hear the audio. It's so delicious. Coming up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Cornhole Lady was the last member to be inducted into the After Hours Hall of Fame. We need someone else to join her to be immortalized. You get to pick. I'm telling you what, this audio is yummy. It's so good. I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't even know how I'm going to vote yet. But that's the deal. We're going to let you hear the audio. We're going to vote. And then you're going to go to Twitter and to Facebook. And you're going to cast your ballots. And we will reveal the next inductee to the After Hours Hall of Fame before we send you off into your weekend. Are you ready? Are you ready over there? Enes Kanter. He has a unique physical reaction to any talk of playoffs.
I've been to playoffs before, and then that should be everybody's goal. You know, it's the playoffs. When I think about playoffs, my nipples get hurt.
much.
I'm sorry.
I'm not sure that I've ever heard anyone else describe it that way.
What the f*** was that?
But the funny part to me is how he instantly realizes, oopsie, and says, I'm sorry, and then
laughs.
Yeah, no, it wasn't quite like that.
Sorry.
So, Ennis Cantor, you are a candidate for the After Hours Hall of Flame. Brad Heller joining us in studio, too, so he can be part of this Hall of Flame Friday. And so we'll give him a chance to settle in. But Ennis Cantor, you're unique. You're on an island all by yourself. All right. Also in the NBA, Kawhi Leonard, he was trying to introduce himself to the friends to the north, to the basketball fans in Toronto. He wanted them to know him. And so he opened up.
I'm a fun guy. Obviously, I love the game of basketball. I mean, it's just more questions you have to ask me in order for me to tell you about myself. I just can't give you a whole spiel.
I don't even believe it's real. I've seen it on video. I've heard it so many times, and I still feel like it's got to be a fake laugh. Yeah, no, it's better than that. Have we ever had someone get into the After Hours Hall of Flame just based on a laugh? I don't know that we have, but that's fantastic. So Ennis Cantor, he's got all kinds of bodily functions taking place when we talk about the playoffs.
When I think about playoffs, my nipples get hurt.
And then Kawhi Leonard, who doesn't even need you to ask him a question. He's gonna give you everything he's got. That laugh is fantastic. I've been trying to imitate it. I'm nowhere close. I stink at it. It's Kawhi solo, man.
It's like a vampire laugh.
Is that what it is? Honestly, I have no idea how to describe it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Isaac, Chris on the other side of the double pane glass contemplating their votes. Let's move on to, Peyton Manning. He has such a special message for Drew Brees after Drew passed him for most yards by a quarterback in league history.
Peyton, FYI, Drew Brees just broke your record.
Which one?
All-time passing yards.
Passing yards? Okay. So I still have the touchdown record, right?
He's actually on pace to break that, too.
What? Great. Drew, for 1,000 days, I've held the record for all-time passing yards in the NFL. And I got to tell you, it's been the greatest 1,000 days of my life. And thanks to you, that's over now. And you've ruined that for me. So thank you very much. I have nothing left to look forward to except slicing my tomatoes, making dinner for my family, putting together this wedge salad. Also, let this serve as the congratulations for the touchdown record, because as you can see, I'm very busy. I don't have time to keep doing these videos for you, congratulating you.
I mean, Peyton Manning, the only person who would ever do a tribute video with a paring knife in his hand, but
what?
He had to cut his tomatoes. I might vote for Peyton just based on the what? That's my favorite part.
And you've ruined that for me.
Oh, speaking of ruining things, are you ready? You want to know who ruins everything? Well, the Saudi Daisy Athletic Director, Jared Hensley, he got suspended for this, but he'll tell you who absolutely ruins everything.
Things to address, we need to make sure athletic shorts. And I know, boys, you're thinking, you know, I don't understand why it's not fair. Athletic shorts go past your knees. I didn't make the rules. Well, I kind of did. But that's the rules. So that's just what we're going to stick to. And that doesn't mean that you can wear athletic shorts. So everybody who's going, well, I got a detention for wearing athletic shorts, that's what you're going to get. And if you don't serve it, you're going to do a Saturday school. So just don't wear them. And if you really want someone to blame, blame the girls. Because they pretty much ruin everything. They ruin the dress code. They ruin, well, ask Adam. Look at Eve. It's really all you really get to get to. Okay, you can really go back to the beginning of time. So it'll be like that the rest of your life. Get used to it. Just keep your mouth shut. Suck it up. Follow the rules. I hope everybody has a great day.
I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard a dopier high school announcement in my entire life, but you want to blame someone? Blame the girls.
I didn't make the rules. Well, I kind of did.
All right, time to vote, peeps. And for those of you who are listening around the country, around the world, you can vote on social media, either on Twitter, A-Law Radio, I'm going to retweet right now, or you can weigh in on our Facebook page where Chris found pictures. Okay, you guys ready? Because you have no seniority in there, you get to go first, Chris.
I am going with the true MVP, the Saudi Daisy athletic director. I mean, are you serious?
Because they pretty much ruin everything.
This guy is a joke.
Just ask Adam.
Ask Adam. Look at Eve.
I gotcha. I hope everybody has a great day.
I hope everybody has a great day.
Shut up. All right, Isaac, you're next.
I'm going to go with the haunting laugh of Kawhi Leonard.
It is a bit haunting. How is that even real? Oh, you know what? Brad Heller does improv. Could you possibly replicate that laugh for us? You just, you know, like...
It wouldn't do it justice, though. I think it needs to stand on its own. It needs to stand on its own. I love it. I think it's amazing. I love it.
I mean, that's as close as anybody else
has
got.
That's amazing.
That was pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
I mean, Brad Heller needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
That's awesome.
All right, so you have Enes Kanter, Kawhi Leonard, Peyton Manning, and the Saudi Daisy Dope. That's the high school, sorry.
Jared, our friend Jared. Yes. Yeah, he's going in, no question. He's the one that needs to keep his mouth shut for sure.
Yes,
I mean, wow.
All right, so we
be like that the rest of your life?
Shut up. I don't even say that much. We've got two votes for Saudi Daisy, but you're going to have to make it three because this guy, I mean, the best part is that the YouTube video went up so quick and then quickly, just as quickly came down, but not before it went viral and a local newspaper got a hold of it, which is why we got a hold of it. So we've made the guy
famous.
What
about the people that put the video up in the first place?
Yeah,
maybe they should be nominees as well.
I don't know.
The girls.
I mean, I kind of feel like he should have to answer for this, man. Own it. If it's something you feel, then and the part at the end, he's like, just get used to it, suck it up. It's going to be this way your whole life. Clearly, in a very happy marriage of some sort.
Just keep your mouth shut.
Put that with the Kawhi laugh at the end. You know his comment.
We can make a great montage.
I hope everybody has a great day.
Nice. There it is.
All right, so you've heard our votes. You check it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You get the deciding votes. And also on our Facebook page, there's photos. We will reveal the latest inductee to the After Hours Hall of Fame by the top of the hour. Straight ahead, former big league pitcher CJ Nikowski helps us to prep for the American League and National League Championship Series. One of them starts tonight. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Here's our latest sports update. Now all I want to do is hear Brad Heller with the laugh. Can you do it again?
It's not. It doesn't do it justice.
Oh, it's close, though.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Line drive headed toward the left field corner. Well hit. It is on its way, and it's gone. Manny Machado and his signature moment as a Los Angeles Dodger. A three-run home run. And the Dodgers now have a 6-2 lead. Jansen to Freeman. Twung on and missed strike three. The Dodgers beat the Braves 6-2. And for the third consecutive season, the Dodgers are going to the National League Championship Series. Next stop, Milwaukee.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Dodgers on the road at the Milwaukee Brewers to start off the Final Four in Major League Baseball. So NLCS on a Friday night, ALCS then as part of a doubleheader on Saturday. It's October, baby. So much going on. Charlie Steiner is the play-by-play voice of the Dodgers. And even though they've been to three consecutive NLCSs, they haven't won a World Series as a franchise since 1988. So they're out for redemption after last season. Of course, the Brewers have never won one in their franchise history. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're really excited to spend a couple of minutes this morning with CJ Nikowski, former big league pitcher, who will be doing his own show at the top of the hour on MLB Network Radio. If you want a little more of the breakdown, CJ, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. When you look at the start, or the starter, I should say, that Craig Counsell has picked, Gio Gonzalez, it's kind of, he didn't pitch at all in the division series. It's kind of thought that they would go with Jalice Chacin. What do you think about his choice to make Gio the game one?
Yeah, it's a little bit surprising. I guess anytime you go with your game one starter for a potential seven-game series, there are thoughts about bringing guys back, using guys on short rest, and as far as how you want to line that up. And, yeah, there's without a doubt some concerns when a guy hasn't pitched in a while, right? That's always a big one. You worry about guys getting a little bit rusty. How are they going to feel bouncing back from all that time off? A lot of times guys feel a little bit too strong. That's always a concern. But I think in this case for Craig Counsell, this is more about maybe matching up a little bit, using a left-handed starter against that Dodgers lineup because they can play matchups with you, and they're not afraid to make their changes early. And we also know that part of the Brewers' plan is they're going to rely heavily on their bullpen.
Right.
And so it may be a situation where they're just hoping Gio Gonzalez can maybe get through that order two times, keep some of those left-handed bats on the bench at least for the first half of the game, and then hand it over to your bullpen. A game plan that, if executed properly, certainly could work well against the Dodgers.
And so far, none of the starters have lasted longer than five innings per Craig Counsell. Just as someone who used to pitch in the big leagues, what's your reaction to that? The fact that a quality start, like what we got from Hyunjin Ryu and Clayton Kershaw in games one and two for the Dodgers in the NLDS, that's the rarity now. We hardly ever see that.
I know. It's a kind of a sad, I guess, time, but I also get it, too. I mean, the name of the game is to win, and if teams are okay with it, one of the funny quotes after, I guess it was the wild card game when Luis Severino threw four innings, and after the game, Aaron Judge was doing a post-game interview, and he had said, he's like, listen, four innings out of your ace is really all you can ask.
Oh.
And I remember thinking, wow, yeah, things have changed a little bit. Like this, you know, this is a feeling now that is resonating throughout the clubhouse, that they're actually looking at even their best starters in big situations and saying, listen, they can get four innings, five if you're lucky, you'll take it. And that's because when you have a bullpen like the Yankees and you have a bullpen like the Milwaukee Brewers, and that's what your team is built on, and all this talk about facing an order a third time through, everyone is starting to gain get the philosophy, and it's gaining a lot of traction. It makes a lot of sense, and I love watching Clayton Kershaw throw eight innings. I think we all still like seeing those games.
Sure.
The reality is there are going to be fewer and far between.
Well, I'm glad you brought him up because he generally has success against the Brewers in his career, including at Miller Park, but Christian Yelich is 4 of 6 against him with a couple home runs this year, and he's 9 of 17 against him for his career. What makes Yelich successful against Clayton?
So you know what he does so well, especially in this generation, which is kind of nice. We talk about getting the ball in the air a lot more and talk about launch angle. Well, as a left-handed hitter, first of all, as a power guy who added a ton of home runs this year, he had one of the lowest launch angles in baseball. So without, you know, sounding too nerdy or getting technical, he just doesn't hit the ball high in the air like a lot of other hitters do these days. And so think about a left-on-left matchup. I was a left-handed pitcher, and one of the things that I always wanted to know about the left-handed hitter that I was facing, I wanted to know if he had the ability to go opposite field, especially early in the count. Was he looking for something out over the plate to maybe hit a line drive to left field? Was he willing to do that? Some left-handed hitters, as good as they were, I mean, even some, like, say, using Jim Thome as an example, a Hall of Fame hitter, they may be looking to yank early, pull early, right, turn and burn a little bit on you. And so you felt like you had the outside part of the plate when you needed it. Christian Yelich is not one of those guys. And so left on left, he'll look for something out over the plate early, and he can even drive it the other way. And so for Clayton Kershaw, he's a different kind of lefty. He has seen the ball well against him. That nice level swing works against some of Clayton Kershaw's strengths, which is the curveball and the slider. And so that's likely the reason, is that he stays in there really well against lefties and is not pulling off the ball. And those are the toughest left-on-left matchups as a left-handed pitcher when you get a guy who can command the outside part of the plate really well and has the ability not just to even hit the ball the opposite field for base hits, but can also hit it out of the ballpark to left field.
CJ Nikowski about to do his show on MLB Network Radio. For now, we've got him for a couple of minutes. Former big league pitcher and baseball analyst travels with the Rangers, so is part of their regular crew. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So let's talk about Astros and Red Sox. And I'm fascinated to get your answer to this. Which pitching staff do you believe has the edge in that ALCS?
Well, you know, it's funny because it comes down to, for me, who's bringing their A game to the table. Now, the Astros have already shown that with Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole at the top. It's just that's a really, really difficult combination to beat. The question becomes for game one and game two with the Red Sox is, looks like Chris Sale is healthy. There were some concerns there because at the end of the season, the velocity was way down. And Alex Cora had said the whole time, he's fine, he's fine. And I'm like, I hope he's fine for you too. But when he's throwing 90 miles an hour and he's a guy that we're used to seeing sit, you know, 96 to 97 when he's at his full strength, there might be something wrong. he was perfectly fine. Like, he showed that so far throughout the postseason, that he is healthy, that the good fastball velocity is back. But I think you'll always wonder in the back of your mind, is he 100% okay? He has proven that so far, but I'm still wondering what happened that last postseason, the regular season start. Is there anything that's bothering him? I think that'll be okay. I think that question will be an easy one to answer. The big one is David Price. And right. David Price, as we well know, is a $200 million pitcher. He has just been awful in the postseason as a starter. I mean, there's no better way to describe it. We just have to be honest about it. He's made 10 postseason starts. He's 0-9 with an ERA over 6 in those starts. And it hasn't happened. Now, it's interesting that he got the game 2 start, quite honestly. And then you start looking, and you look at his numbers against the Astros over the last 3 years. He's crushed them. He's done really, really well against the Houston Astros, and the numbers get even better at Fenway. The ERA overall, I think, is somewhere around a 2-4. In Fenway, it's even lower than that. It's sub-2. Again, over the last 3 years, he's pitched well against them this year. So if for some reason, out of nowhere, David Price can show up and be that really good postseason starter that he should be able to be because he's a really good pitcher, that'll help tip the scales a little bit. If that doesn't happen, they're going to be, I think, in a little bit of trouble because they're going to start relying heavily on their bullpen and maybe too much. And so while the pitching on paper, when those guys are at their best, is a pretty good matchup, mm-hmm. the consistency of that Astro pitching and what they've been able to do so far, certainly, I think, for me, makes them a little bit of a slight favorite.
All right, so I know you have your show coming up. Don't want to
keep you. You're good. I still have. I don't go till 7.
Oh, I thought you were coming up top of the hour.
Oh no, you're good.
Well, thank you for waking up early.
No problem. Awesome. I owe you.
The stat that blew me away about this 2018 season is this: for the first time ever in baseball history, there were more strikeouts than hits in a season. CJ, mm-hmm. I cannot get over that, and I understand the trends, but that blows me away. Is there any possible way to change that, or is that just how baseball is going to be forever?
I wish. I mean, the trend is – the biggest concern for me is as far as how watchable our game becomes, right? I mean, I don't think it's going to change because the reward system is not necessarily hurting these guys yet, right? As long as you're hitting your home runs, even if you're striking out, teams would prefer that you take your walks, but they're still going to pay you. Now, the numbers have come down for some power hitters over the last couple of years. Like, the top guys are always going to get paid, but that secondary group of guys over these last couple of years have seen a reduction. I mean, use a guy like Logan Morrison, who had 38 home runs last season, didn't do as well as we might have thought he would have done in free agency. And so there's some numbers that are coming down financially, but they're not coming down all the way. They're not going to zero. And point being is that teams will still reward the big swings. And it's one of those things, I think, that it's almost like, well, if everyone's doing it, it's okay. Like, you don't want to have the one team that's striking out like crazy and only hitting home runs and not walking. That would be a problem. But bigger picture for baseball, I got to believe that Rob Manfred, he's talked about this a lot. He's concerned about pace of play, which is really important. So if we're not going to put the ball in play, we got to make sure the games are moving at least quickly. We can't have a lack of action and the games are slow. Like, that's a real concern, and it should be for him, and it should be for our game. We get a guy like Christian Yelich, as we were just talking about. There's a really good example of a hitter that we like to watch, right? We like to watch Jose Altuve, right? Because you know he's going to spray the entire field. He's going to be short, quick to the ball, and he also swings pretty quickly. He doesn't work counts. He's not a guy that's trying to get deep into the count. I wish it would change. You'll hear John Smoltz talk about it a lot throughout the postseason, and you see some of these shifts, and there's an entire left side of the infield available, but guys can't do it. It's not what they do, and that's how they came through the minor league system. Team said it was okay. You can develop yourself like this. We're okay with this, and now we got a lot of guys that are doing it, and I just worry about our viewers. That's my biggest concern. We can't lose them.
No, I agree with that. If it's going to be slow, you're right. It can't also be boring with no balls in play. You can find CJ on Twitter at CJ Nikowski, NITKOWSKI. He's got his MLB Network radio show in 1 hour and 9 minutes, so you don't want to miss that. I love this that you're on a satellite line. This is fantastic. And it's great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for a few minutes.
My pleasure, and congratulations on your 2019 contract.
Thank you, CJ. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. Bye, Amy.
Good stuff from CJ. Just a taste of why you need to listen to the radio show, because he can break it down in a way that is completely understandable. All right. The votes are in. This is really tight. And we saw one guy make a late run, but we have our latest Hall of Fame inductee, courtesy of you.
Hey, FYI, Drew Brees just broke your record.
Which one?
All-time passing yards.
Passing yards? Okay. So I still have the touchdown record, right?
He's actually on pace to break that, too.
What? Great. Drew, for 1,000 days, I've held the record for all-time passing yards in the NFL. And I got to tell you, it's been the greatest 1,000 days of my life. And thanks to you, that's over now, and you've ruined that for me. So thank you very much. I have nothing left to look forward to except slicing my tomatoes, making dinner for my family, putting together this wedge salad. Also, let this serve as the congratulations for the touchdown record, because as you can see, I'm very busy. I don't have time to keep doing these videos for you, congratulating you.
Oh, my gosh. I mean,
what?
Who makes a tribute video to a great quarterback? Who honors him with a paring knife?
Wedge salad.
Only Peyton Manning. I just saw this tweet from a Patriots fan. John says, I'm a huge Tom Brady fan, and when Peyton played, you kind of had to hate him, but respect him as a player. Honestly, that man is hilarious and just has a great personality. He is your choice. It was so close. For a while, Kawhi Leonard was in the lead. Saudi Daisy Dopey Man,
ask Adam.
He made a comeback late courtesy of Facebook and fell just short. Peyton Manning is your latest inductee to the After Hours Hall of Fame. As always, our toll-free line here at CBS Sports Radio is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. So you've got NLCS tonight, ALCS starting tomorrow, week 6 in the NFL. We've got polls up. We will talk to you on Sunday night. It's going to be an awesome weekend. Enjoy it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.